Space News 80. More on the rescues and other news. Hello, thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. This is Marie, with another edition of Space News. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. I am writing this on the morning of May 16, 2025. It may be advisable to watch Space News episodes 77, 78, and 79 before this one to better understand what I am talking about. The situation in Earth's orbit remains basically the same since last week, with 5 Atorthan battleships parked in high orbit, and 5 Irma dreadnoughts in low Earth orbit, while Antaria remains here with a staggering 28 starship fleet, 25 nearly arrived ones, plus 3 which were already here, which are Ambassador as Ed Nidia's main ship and its 2 escorts, and Taygeta with a 9 starship fleet in low Earth orbit. In contrast, the Alfrata Centauri fleet, which is the Galactic Federation's main workforce, is presently orbiting Earth in large numbers, fluctuating between 250 and 300 large starships, plus smaller fighter craft and auxiliary vessels. The rest of the star nations here constantly come and go with no fixed number of craft that I am aware of. The total amount of larger than 1 kilometer starships orbiting Earth averages between 900 and 1100 at any given time, as many come and go, and there is a lot of traffic in this area of space, but if you add smaller than 1 kilometer starships, then the average amount of starships orbiting Earth ascends to around 5,000, still not including shuttles and fighter craft. For example, in the case of Taygeta, 2 of our main starships are a lot smaller than 1 kilometer in length, the Hyades and the Sindriel, which are classified as destroyers, in an escort role here. Moving on to the next piece of news, this week we could conduct only one rescue mission, which was achieved by 4 Hashmalim Special Forces operators and 1 single drop ship. They managed to rescue 2 young girls, one 14 years old and the other 15, from their captors on the surface in western Mexico, not inside a dome. Both are fully human and were taken to our friends inside the Vieira biosphere to be healed and sorted out. As I have been informed, the 15-year-old may have to be returned to the surface and placed in the hands of a capable humanitarian organization, as she has a strong tendency to violence and is not cooperating at all. While she was being rescued and extracted, she managed to run to the cockpit of the dropship, where she attacked the pilot with a wrench she had secretly taken from a tool bag that was under where she was seated. She did not manage to hurt the pilot as his flight helmet protected his head, but she did smash his transparent visor before being held back by 2 of the Hashmalims and the dropship's co-pilot. Reportedly, she then attacked an Alfreton staff member in the Vieira, a woman, with sharp pieces of her broken plate, the one where her food had been previously served. She also attacked and started multiple fights against 2 other formerly rescued girls who are much younger than her, and she also attempted to run away twice. And that is not a good idea while being in an installation that was constructed to look like a human building, deep inside an Andromedan biosphere ship, that she does not know she is in. I was informed about this detail just yesterday when I asked for detailed information about how the rescue had proceeded, and I see this as a wake-up call, because not everyone who we may think desires to be rescued, does, and a situation such as this one may cause big problems for us and for the entire operation. Rescuing people is not easy at all. It is a very complicated process with innumerable variables, including the fact that the very people whom we intend to rescue may turn against us. Had she had access to a real weapon, she could have caused a tragedy, and a situation like this one can easily get out of hand. Right now, The girl has been placed in isolation, and all attempts to reason with her have failed, as all she does is insult anyone who attempts to talk to her, while she looks for something to use as a weapon. This case is still being evaluated, and it certainly is a problem. The other girl, who is 14, is cooperating nicely, and she is adapting well to her new environment, and will not be returned to Earth as she has told us that no one is waiting for her there, and openly wants to remain in space, and yes, she knows where she is, while the other one, not so. In the end, in this operation, only one person was rescued, after extensive situational research, evaluation, and great risk for the 6 men and 1 dropship who belong to the valiant crew of the starship Alcyone. When you save one person, you save an entire universe, there is no doubt about that. I have listened to reports that state that the White Hats on Earth have allegedly rescued thousands of people from dumps, and although I really, and deeply, hope that is so, I am quite skeptical about the number of people that they say they have rescued because of all the problems we've had to face with our operations. I mean, the sheer logistics of moving so many rescued people is unattainable. Only 20 people can be seated inside a Tejetan drop attack ship, for example. And then, where and who tend to the needs of so many people? By now, unfortunately, they are taking their captives much deeper underground and spreading them out thin, making things even more complicated, yet we have our methods, and that will not stop us from proceeding. We are working at it. In other related news, and as a logical but unexpected consequence of the recent rescues, 20 Tejetan journalists arrived here this week to interview Goriel, Thales, Maxel, and I about the rescue operations, which have managed to return many Tejetan young women to their homes. Although I understand the need to inform the Tejetan population about what is going on, I am sorry to say that I must place a few limitations, including the amount and the detail of the information we can give them, or it may compromise the operations. I know some of them are, or may be listening to me right now. I will give another press conference in a few hours, but please understand that those limitations are necessary. Same way, no unauthorized personnel may be present in the operations control rooms and information centers during an ongoing operation, nor can they enter restricted or sensitive areas on board any starship, and neither can any journalist continuously follow around any crew member, much less if he or she is high-ranking, because it could compromise his or her performance and activities. I must also publicly announce that I am no longer working and living on board the Sardaukea-class starship, Biggie, or Enterprise, which is equipped as a yacht. I have moved to one of the 4 large dreadnought-class ships for strategic, tactical, and safety reasons, and I cannot disclose which. This is also a precaution as tensions here in Earth's orbit are the highest in decades. As it is said when playing chess, I just castled. In other news, we are evaluating how much of the information about what the Atorthans have been planning for Earth can be released to the public without our side losing any tactical advantage, for example, to stop such things from happening. Remember that they are not predictions, they are only a list of plans the powers at be, may, or may not use against humanity in the next few days to years, and at least most are widely known to all of you who are versed in these kinds of subjects. Another problem I am facing is how to word the information here so as not to alert censorship algorithms. But what I can start to say is that they are preparing a new worldwide bug event before 2030, which would be as false as the first one, yet a lot stricter and harder against the population of planet Earth. And it would have to be, as so many people have already awakened to everything false and wrong during the last bug event. The last one was far from being the first, as we see that they did the same thing back in 1918, complete with facehuggers and all, roughly 100 years before, and they most probably did so before as well. There is also extensive talk about weaponized earthquakes, especially in the general area of Japan, but also around southern Greece, and the entire west coast of the American continent, from the Aleutian Islands to the tip of South America. Natural earthquakes do exist, of course, yet these psychopaths are using concentrated energy beams that they focus on a known weak spot to initiate a tectonic movement in the desired spot they want to attack. Yet the fact that they do occur naturally is only used as camouflage for intentionally artificial events. This type of attack against humanity came up multiple times in the information the Irma cats intercepted from the Atorthans recently, and the time frame for these goes from imminent to past 2030. A related type of attack is the use of weaponized weather events such as artificially guided hurricanes and storms, floods, and droughts. This has been used and will continue to be used against the population as a means to cause chaos in certain regions, as we have all seen recently, for example, around Valencia in Spain, among other places. The main bulk of the human population still does not believe that this can be so, as they live under the illusion that it is not technologically possible. Although the scare tactic that is based on the next type of events against humanity was mentioned in the intercepted communications, as something that must continue, the event itself was not, and this would concur with what we knew previously. Sorry for not being direct, but I am not being so intentionally for the protection of this YouTube channel. I was talking about atomic scares above. I am preparing a more extensive video about agendas, this is just a preview, and of the softest negative events. It is always a pleasure to write for you, my friends. This will be all for today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. It helps this channel grow a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation, your friend, Marie.